when a woman has irresistible charm.
To the outside world, she looks perfect.
A man can be blind to her dangerous ways.
They never knew what hit them.
A California bride cooks up a Thanksgiving dinner with a unique ingredient.
His head was found in the freezer, a mixed frozen vegetables and frozen foods.
A housewife's love is pure, sweet poison.
She was, as most sociopaths are, very charming.
And a greedy girlfriend dissolves her relationship permanently.
The feet were still there. The rest of the body wasn't.
These deadly women know how to hook a man, but get too close, and they will love you to pieces. For some women, a good meal is better than a good man. For others, it is both.
She wanted his money and not him. That doesn't mean she had to consume him.
A culinary crime like no other. In 1991, Costa Mesa, California, 23-year-old Omima Nelson has what most men want.
She had this attraction to men, and she could play pool, and she was very articulate and very friendly.
The beautiful Egyptian immigrant puts her talents to good use in her new homeland.
What she was good with was her sexuality. She could get men to do things for her. And she used her sexuality to get what she wanted.
What Omima wants is money. The former nanny isn't satisfied with meager wages.
She seemed to have a pattern in which she would get men.
Hey, you stealing from me?
In a compromising position.
You owe me money.
That wasn't the deal.
Tying him up.
Where is your money?
Using a weapon and stealing from them.
In the second drawer.
Omima makes a good living from vulnerable men. Her victims more concerned with saving face than with the loss of a few dollars.
Hey!
They were reluctant to report it because of the embarrassment of coming forward.
Don't leave me here.
My guess is they were very embarrassed that a little woman got the best of them.
Help! Help!
In the fall of 1991, Omima enters the big league. She will charm a man who changes her life forever. Texan William Nelson.
She met Mr. Nelson, much like she met the other men, at a Costa Mesa bar near his home. He coddled her and caressed her and treated her like a lady. He loved her.
Well, I enjoyed that. Thank you.
Omima has met the perfect mark, but she wants more than petty cash. She wants everything William has. 2 days after they meet, they marry.
He was kind of what we might term in California old school. Still wanted to have a relationship, but wouldn't unless he married her.
Well, that first Thanksgiving together, she
something really special.
William has no idea. His new bride is no ordinary girl.
To the outside world, if you look at her, she looks perfect. But inside is an inferno of rage.
You've got a beautiful time.
An inferno of violence just waiting to erupt.
You've been such a good boy. I think you need a treat.
Sometimes your worst enemy is sleeping right next to you, and you don't even realize it.
This Thanksgiving weekend, she has a surprise for William.
There must have been something special or different about Omaima's husband. We know he wasn't the first man she tied up.
Whoa, that's a bit tight, honey.
I think the earlier crimes of tying men up and robbing them helped her become more confident.
Tonight, Omaima departs from her usual pattern of intimidation.
I need more money.
Anything, honey.
There was something about him that she felt the need to destroy him.
Are you gonna strip me bare now?
Don't laugh at me! I'm serious!
Oh, come on, cut it out.
This time, Omaima doesn't stop. She enters the major league. Murder.
She got mad and hit him, and then ended up saying, oh my God, he's now knocked out. Went and got a knife and stabbed him. And then she goes, uh-oh, what am I gonna do with the body?
What Omaima does next will haunt everyone involved for life. Orange County, California. 23-year-old Omaima Nelson gives her new husband, William, a Thanksgiving to die for. Now the diminutive woman needs to get rid of a dead body much larger than herself. So she carves it up into more manageable pieces.
For a woman to deliberately murder is rare enough. For a woman to dismember a murder victim is far more rare. She was depraved to her very bones.
She, piece by piece, hung up his torso in the shower with coat hangers and other things in order to let the blood dry out.
For 2 days, Omaima goes about disposing of her new husband.
When most people are disposing of a large human body, they have no idea how much of that body there is and how difficult it is to dispose of it.
The downstairs neighbor heard the garbage disposal running and grinding the entire weekend. Like a motor under stress.
It takes a great deal of effort to cut it up into multiple pieces, to package all those pieces so that they don't look human.
Fatigue gets the better of Omaima. On the third day,
I need your help.
She seeks outside help.
I stabbed him. He's dead.
What? She went to one of her prior boyfriends.
I need help getting rid of his body.
And says, can you help me remove my husband's teeth.
I need to get rid of his head, so there is no trace of him.
That was either bad judgment or extreme arrogance.
I have money. I can give you $75,000.
Okay,
Finally, the tables turn.
Go back to your apartment. I'll get my truck.
A man gets the better of Omima Nelson.
So the friend says, I can help you. Let me go get my truck. But instead of getting his truck, he gets the police.
Hello, police? Are you all right, lady?
Yes.
What is that?
Even a hardened policeman can't be prepared for what he finds.
He opens the bag, but he realizes it's intestines and entrails, the internal organs areas of an individual.
Get out of the car, ma'am. You're under arrest.
Investigators start piecing together the grisly story.
His hip area was found disguised with the attributes of a Thanksgiving meal. Peas, corn, mashed potatoes, cranberry sauce. His hands were found in a fryer. His head was found in the freezer, a mix of frozen vegetables and frozen foods.
They find garbage bags inside suitcases that have been just saturated with fluids and flesh, and there's blood everywhere. I mean, this was literally unbelievable.
But there's still one puzzle that sickens investigators to this day.
We were missing 185 pounds of Bill Nelson.
During her trial, a psychiatrist claims Omima admitted cooking and eating William's flesh.
She bragged to her psychiatrist that the ribs were the best part, that nothing was sweeter than the taste of her husband.
Omima later denies it, but the damage is done.
I don't know whether she was joking or trying to shock the psychiatrist, or if she actually did it. But I can tell you this, juries tend to have no mercy on murder defendants that consumed their victim.
In 1993, Omima Nelson is convicted of second-degree murder and assault with a deadly weapon. She is sentenced to 27 years to life in prison.
She should not be paroled. She's a very much danger to society because she's actually now doing the same stuff since she's been in prison that she did in the outside world.
Incredibly, almost two decades later, Omima's seductive charm continues.
She got married to a gentleman that she knew at the time of Mr. Nelson's death. He was in his 80s at the time. Just a few years back, he died. He left her a large sum of money.
For the moment, Omima can't spend that money. In 2011, her parole is refused for another 15 years.
We don't know much about Omima's girlhood and teen years in Egypt. But what we do know is that almost as soon as she got to America, she started getting in legal trouble. I think the roots of her problems started growing when she was a young girl. What happened was destined to happen.
Ah.
if a husband can complete a woman's life.
That woman could get whatever man she wanted.
Bring her love and security.
There was a total of $32,000 in life insurance policies.
Why stop with just one? Today, Twin Falls, Idaho is a popular tourist spot. But in 1914, it is a harsh frontier town.
The early promoters of Twin Falls really exaggerated the promise that this area had. Life was not easy for early settlers.
So anyway, we can now stable 5 horses at once.
The Dooley brothers, Edward and Robert, are lured to the promised land. It proves lucky for Robert. He meets and marries local girl, Lida.
She married at age 19 or 20, and they had a perfectly normal relationship.
Isn't she the cutest little girl I've ever seen?
They had a daughter. They appeared to be just like the rest of the residents around town.
But the young couple's happiness is cut short. Robert's brother, Edward, suddenly dies.
I can't believe he's dead.
He was a good man.
There was nothing suspicious about the death. It was ruled as, food poisoning or typhoid.
Edward's death brings one comfort: his life insurance.
She and her husband had talked him into taking out a life insurance policy and naming her husband and Lida as the beneficiaries.
$1,000 would go to his brother, and $1,000 would go to Lida if he died.
Robert, how would I cope if you suddenly died?
Life is fragile. Lida wants more protection.
Robin, you have to ensure your life for us.
Don't fret, my dear, whatever you want.
Robert's pledge is timely. He is dead just weeks after his brother.
And there was a huge influenza epidemic that killed a lot of people. These deaths never raised any suspicions.
But tragedy isn't done with Lida yet. She suffers a mother's ultimate loss: the death of her young daughter.
Little children died all the time at that period of history.
She probably got a lot of sympathy. That poor woman. She's lost her daughter, her husband, all to this stomach flu.
Grief-stricken, Lida has sympathy and money to comfort her. And soon, a new man.
Lida appeared to be a rather homely woman, but she could wrap any man that she set her eyes on right around her finger without any effort at all.
Lida's second husband was William McAfee, and he was also from Twin Falls.
The couple make a fresh start in Montana. But tragedy follows them. Within 15 months, William is bedridden.
With husband number 2, William McCaffney, when he died, They said that it was from influenza.
Lyda is alone again, but not for long.
Lyda's third husband was Harlan Lewis. She married him within months after the death of her second husband.
Is Lyda addicted to love or something more substantial?
When she got married the next time, she made sure her husband had a $10,000 policy.
The fact that the life insurance policies grew from each husband was kind of a sign. I mean, she was manipulating the men to take out policies.
Lyda was motivated by one thing and one thing only: greed. She wanted money.
But Lyda has only just started. In the early 20th century, 26-year-old Lyda Trueblood's family seemed to be cursed. In 4 short years, 2 husbands, her daughter, and a brother-in-law all die. Third husband, Harlan Lewis, is following the pattern.
Darling, stop.
The doctors say he has food poisoning. Lyda knows better.
Lyda Trueblood was very careful. She waited until the person actually got sick.
Eat.
Then it was easier to be believed that that person died of illness.
We have to get you strong again.
Just 1 month after marrying Lyda, Harlan is dead.
Everybody thought it was something he ate that finally did him in. But all it had been really was Lyda Trueblood.
She received $10,000 from Lewis's life insurance policy. And that is an incredible amount of money for those days.
Lyda was flamboyant. She drew attention to herself. She bought a car, a mink coat. Both of those things say, look at me.
Rich and single Lyda is on a roll. She quickly charms husband number 4, ranch foreman Edward Meyer. But the blushing bride is pushing her luck.
She didn't wait for him to get sick. Maybe she grew impatient.
And that was probably the mistake she made in all of this.
This time, it's not the insurance company Lyda needs to worry about.
One of the people who were suspicious was Earl Dooley, who was a pharmacist. He thought, this is too much dying around her. This doesn't make sense.
Curiosity leads Earl to the latest death scene. He collects traces of Edward's vomit.
He scraped up the sand, and he took that sand into his lab and he tested it.
For Earl, it's personal. Lyda's first victims, the Dooley brothers, were his cousins.
Sure enough, he found arsenic. So when that happened, he went to a doctor to get it confirmed in another lab, and it was definitely arsenic.
For centuries, arsenic is a weapon of choice for deadly women. But Lyda gets her source in a most unusual way. She meticulously extracts tiny amounts from the common pest killer, flypaper.
She poisoned their food. And over time, you know, the arsenic would build up. Most of the death certificates all said some sort of stomach ailment.
Investigators exhume the bodies of Lyda's late husbands, brother-in-law, and daughter. Tests conclude the family curse is Lyda.
Lyda went about her killing very deliberately. When she bought out everything the store had in flypaper, it was obvious that she wanted to have a permanent supply on hand. You wonder, did they ever suspect that it was not a natural illness that was making them suffer in agony? We can only hope that they never understood what was really happening.
She receives the dubious title of Flypaper Lyda.
Lyda True Blood was a classic black widow. And she did it for money.
In 1921, Lyda Trueblood is found guilty of second-degree murder and receives 10 years to life. But the prison bars aren't secure enough to hold this conniving woman.
She had loosened up a bar in her cell and climbed a rose trellis to scale the wall.
The merry widow skips town, only to resurface in the arms of husband number five.
She had married a naval officer who thought she was just the most charming woman.
Yes.
Said that she was a model wife.
So why do you want to see my wife? I mean, she's done nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong, you say?
Her freedom is short-lived. Police track her down just in time to save victim number seven. But Lyda Trueblood will get another chance at freedom. After 20 years in jail, she is released in 1941.
I think they figured that she had lost most of her good looks and charm and was no longer a menace to society.
When she finally died, it was from a heart attack. It's amazing to think that Lyda actually had a heart.
I'm home.
A man in love can spoil a woman.
She can have anything she wants, and nothing else is important.
But if he falls for a deadly one...
I think she just took advantage of the nice side of him. I think he was trusting in a lot of ways.
He can be left with very little.
The feet were still there. The rest of the body wasn't.
Hey,
dreams can be won or lost in the desert town of Las Vegas, Nevada.
This place is driven by gambling. It's a weird place. You've got some oddballs. You've got people living on the fringe.
Well, I hope I'm bringing you some of that luck.
You have a lot of people who come into town with the specific purpose of taking advantage of other people.
In 1992, one visitor to Vegas is 45-year-old Amy DeChant.
Maybe you can give me a few tips.
It'll be my pleasure.
A lot of women look for men to hook up with that are wealthy. That certainly would include Las Vegas. And it definitely describes Amy.
By day, Amy runs a carpet cleaning business. By night, she looks for more lucrative ventures.
She went to where the big fish swam.
High roller, 46-year-old Bruce Weinstein has plenty of cash. He makes a matzah from bookmaking and bets big on the tables.
In Las Vegas, he's what we refer to as a whale. He had a lot of money and he played a lot of money. He would spend it.
Amy's hit the jackpot.
Hi, honey. I'm home.
Hey, honey.
She latched on to him pretty quickly. They kind of had a whirlwind romance, and not long after, she moved in with him.
You spoil me, big boy.
Well,
Bruce showers his new woman in luxury.
Wanted you to have something nice to wear when we're in Florida.
They went nice places. He bought her a nice car.
We are.
He lavished her with jewelry and gifts.
While she enjoys the high life, Amy is accustomed to getting more than a few trinkets from her lovers.
It seems that every person that we found that Amy had had a relationship with had lost money. She always got them to put half of a house in her name. When they sold the house, she got half the proceeds.
Hey, I want to show you the latest plans.
Bruce spoils his girlfriend, but keeps a tight rein on his assets.
Hey, I've been thinking, you should put the house in my name.
Bruce was going to be building a house for his parents.
Why would I do that? It's my parents' house.
Oh, come on, honey.
Amy tried to get Bruce to put that house in her name.
It's not going to happen.
You obviously don't care for me as much as I thought you did.
When Bruce said there was no way that he was going to do it, Amy got very upset and walked out.
She hooked up with Bruce for his money, and the money is what she wanted.
Amy's not getting the house. But a chance discovery means Bruce's money is on the cards.
Because of his bookmaking business, Bruce always kept a lot of money around the house, at least $100,000, maybe up to $500,000 cash in the house at any one time.
Amy, this is none of your business.
The discovery changes Amy's outlook and Bruce's fate.
It's nothing to do with you. It's business.
That very well could have been the moment that she made a decision to get to that money.
There was no other way for her to make anything on the relationship.
Bruce has to go. In the summer of 1995, Amy DeChant can't get what she wants from her wealthy Las Vegas bookmaker boyfriend.
You should put the house in my name.
Her name on his vast assets.
It's not gonna happen.
I think that he was worried about Amy taking money from him. However, I don't think that Bruce suspected that Amy would do him any harm.
Vegas is a 24-hour city, but not for Bruce. Early every morning, he hits the phones for his bookmaking business.
He would go to bed at 9 o'clock every night. I mean, he had to be up early in the morning and start working the bets.
Tonight, all bets are off. After a romance of 8 months, Amy kills her lover in cold blood for cold cash. But she has one big problem.
I need you to get here now.
Her boyfriend's 300-pound body.
Amy's a very small person. Bruce was 300 pounds. Amy needed help disposing the body, and she called an employee of hers, Bobby Jones.
It's believed she offers 56-year-old Bobby money to help clean up.
I'm guessing she used her flirting charms on him as well.
Okay.
In the carpet cleaning business, you learn a few tricks.
Okay.
Cleaning fluids can do more than remove stains.
Amy took Bruce's body, took him out in the desert, and just threw him out like a piece of trash.
There are many bodies dumped in the Nevada desert. But this one will be hard to find. Amy brings enough caustic cleaning fluid to dissolve away a 300-pound problem.
Amy had no regard for Bruce when he was alive, and certainly after she killed him. Killing Bruce was easy for her, probably because she's a sociopath to the core.
Amy's now got her hands on hundreds of thousands of dollars. But before she gets a chance to spend it, there's a knock on her door.
It's not like him not to call.
Perhaps his battery's out or something.
But he knows he has to set the books for the day.
I think
when no one could rouse him.
From a big night at the casino.
Bruce's mother went to the house the day after.
Do you mind if I look about?
Sure.
There's a strong smell of a cleaning fluid. And she noticed that the carpets were wet right outside the door to the bedroom and on the stairs.
She also noticed that her son's cell phone, her son's pager, were in the bedroom.
There's no way Bruce would go anywhere without his cell.
That was very alarming for his mother. I mean, that was a dead giveaway that something had happened to him.
It isn't suspicious mom that catches Amy. It is a strange find in the desert by two trappers who find human feet in a pool of mush.
The feet were still there, however, the rest of the body wasn't.
This is one job the carpet cleaners mess up badly. So Amy goes on the run with the cash. But her love of the fast lane soon gets her caught in a speed trap.
Can I see your license, please?
I'm very sorry, officer. I don't think I have it on me.
Please get out of the car.
Amy developed a habit probably pretty early in life of getting what she wanted from men by flirting with them.
Perhaps we could work something out, officer.
She just continued it throughout her adult life.
Please, get out of the car, man.
Right up to the moment she was stopped by a policeman.
Her time is up.
They found over $100,000 cash. They found fake ID, false ID. And also they found a newspaper article about Bruce missing, which may have been a trophy.
Amy is arrested, and her charmed life comes to an end. In October 1998, she is convicted of first-degree murder. She gets two life sentences.
I don't think Amy has feelings for anyone else other than herself. She has never displayed any feelings about anyone else but herself.
But a trial procedural error gives her a second chance. She accepts a reduced sentence of 25 years and is now eligible for parole.
Amy will be using her femininity the rest of her life in an attempt to get what she wants from people. That's all she knows, and that's what she does.
These deadly women killed the people who loved them the most. Omima Nelson tried to cook the evidence. Lyda Trueblood confused family with family benefits. And Amy DeChant stole life and limb. All three women killed for greed. Their nearest and dearest had no idea they'd be loved to pieces.